Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 21 of Screen Champs. I'm your host, Dubs, here with my co-host, the Madman Moan.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? We're 21 years old, but our podcast can drink now.
Let's go. Get that shotgun in.
Let's do it.
Get that absurd amount of alcohol in very quickly. All within an hour.
When we were putting everything together for this, I was like, well, we should have reviewed another round this week because it just makes more sense. It all kind of fits in. But, you know, here we are.
Well, it's, you know, what it is too is that, like, you never drink that hard on your 21st. You start drinking
you don't?
Like, at your 20, so you could prep up for your 21st.
I mean, I feel like people go pretty hard on their 21st.
But that's what you prep up. That's what you start a little bit earlier. So for that's that 21st, you're like, oh, I'll be able to handle it. But you never do, obviously.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would. I guess, too, when you look back, it's never like, oh, like when were you most trashed? And it's not like my 21st birthday. It's always like, oh, that one Wednesday. Why were we even drinking? Like, well, who knows? Yeah. You know, but that's where I regretted life the most. Yeah.
That's also very true. That's yeah. My dad used to say that, too. I think when I first moved out. And I moved into my uncle's place. My dad told my uncle, like, hey, watch out for my son's friends because they're not coming in Saturday night. They're coming in on Tuesday afternoon and they're staying till Wednesday. So,
he's living a different life.
Yeah. They're not coming in Friday night. There's no Friday night. It's going to be Wednesday morning. They're getting hammered.
Yeah,
playing basketball or something.
Well, I mean, that's when we had time, you know. That's don't blame us.
Yeah,
you're like, blame the work schedule.
I happen to have Wednesday off.
Yeah, what do you want me to do?
What do you want to do? I'm gonna have fun. I'm gonna goon out.
I feel like I have to make sure this podcast doesn't turn into every new episode. It's just like, oh, dude, because I feel like last episode it was like, oh, hey, 20, we're not teenagers anymore. And it's like 21. Now next episode it'll be like 22. We're past 21, you know, so it's like...
I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I'm feeling 22.
Oh, damn. See, we have to have the Taylor episode, obviously. Yeah. And that needs to be addressed when it happens. I guess I just don't want to keep being shocked that it's the number keeps rising. Like, and we did it again. Like, how many pats on the back can I give myself?
But here's the thing, Dubs, 23. No one likes when you're 23.
Damn. 23 and
24?
Me.
Is 24 the Kobe year?
Damn. Well, see, these are just prolific numbers, bro. Like,
we're gonna stop at 25. There's nothing fun about 25.
Well, that's court. Oh my gosh, see, well, that I mean, it's
a maybe 26.
Mm.
What does 26 have?
Just anxiety about turning 30. That's it, man.
26 is like yuck. It's like this podcast is old. Like,
26 is like, man, my years are behind me.
I don't know. I'm listening to a bunch of old timers. That's funny.
All right. Well, so okay. After 21 episodes, I still feel like it is a special occasion, though. What are your thoughts afterwards? After recording almost 21 hours, probably a little bit more even of a podcast that we just put it out in the world, and for some reason people have listened to it. God knows why. So, what are your thoughts after 21 episodes?
My thoughts are like it's so achievable. Kind of makes sense. It's like hitting a rhythm, and it's just, you know, people are like, oh, I know this like the back of my hand, like something like that. It's like, yeah, it's just don't think you can't do anything. Do it. And then guess what? Once you keep doing it, it's going to get better and better.
Yeah.
And easier and easier.
And you know, I will say it's much more achievable when you're not working 40 hours a week. That's for sure. But
I mean, it's also that it's also like, hey, this is achievable and doable when you're on unemployment. You have all the time in the world. But once you get a job, because you don't get no money in podcasting, I don't know. I have a little cousin's like, hey, so how much money do you make on your podcast? I'm like, I don't do this for money. I do this for you.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, but low key, you know, like send me some on Venmo or Cash App, or like, you know, maybe just buy me food.
But I think it was good. It was good that we found a rhythm before going back to work, because now we're going to make sure we make an effort to get it. Like, I mean, you know, you were off work at 3 o'clock last night. and then 4 hours later, you're up and we're recording a podcast at 7 o'clock in the morning. So, because that's just when the time worked out for us and there's nothing we could do about it. So in that sense, you know, we're going through, but if we didn't make that momentum, if we didn't find that rhythm from the get-go, I'm sure it would feel a lot easier to skip episodes. Like, we'll figure it out. You know, we'll do it later. So yeah, I'm happy about that.
Like, once you start doing that, then it's like, what are we doing this week? Oh, you know what? It's going to be 3 episodes this month. Not the Madman. Madman Moan is going to commit new episode each Monday.
There we go.
You're going to get it.
We'll have like a prison episode 1 week. Maybe we'll have a hospital episode, but they're going to come out. You know, we're going to get it.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to come out. They're going to come out. It's like, hey, I'm actually in Cuba right now. don't ask why, but today's episode, we're going to...
There you go.
It's like, why are you in a jail cell? So don't worry about it. I only have 1 hour, so... or 10 minutes, right? How much does it give you to talk to someone?
Would not know. I got any time minutes, bro. So, all right. Yeah, I would also say, too, that after editing all these podcasts, I cannot stand hearing my own voice. And the first couple, I guess I'm used to it now, but those first couple episodes, you have no idea the amount of self-loathing that someone goes through, like really just listening to themselves share stupid ideas over and over. I was like, bro, this is killing me. Now it's better, but man. Those first ones were rough. I was like, ugh.
What would the emoji be for, like, your face when you're doing the editing?
Oh, it's like the goon with the little, with his eyes, like, squinted, like, or even with the mouth, like, where his mouth is, like, a oval kind of thing.
Oh, I see. Or like almost like a gasp?
No, not to get, no, see, that's, well, that is what I explained. That is not what I meant.
you're like, ugh.
yeah, I don't know. It's got to be either the, I'm just going to have to put up a like an Instagram story feed or something about what I'm trying to explain with words that I just cannot do at all. But it's the one with like where his like teeth are showing. And
oh, he's always like he looks rocked. Like his face is like, it's like people use it when they're drunk. Like that one?
Oh, I guess. See, that's another thing. I never know like what people really used it for, but it's probably one of my favorite ones. Because to me, it's kind of like, awkward. But you're thinking like, oh, it's the drunk one. But I'm just kind of like, cringe. Like my voice, ugh. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be so funny when you edit this episode. You're just hearing all this and it's going to be that. You're like, ugh.
All right. And real quick, let me do a drop for the socials. I always forget to do this. There's been times where I type it in and I just forget. So Instagram and Twitter at ScreenChamps. And then if you want to send us an email, any questions, whatever, screenchampspod@gmail.com. Interact, reach out, talk to us. We definitely love getting emails. We got an email recently, which was just so exciting to read because it was something I had not thought about. And now there's anxiety because now I don't know what to or what the answer should be. But the email from Sharon, shout out Sharon. Do you guys have a name for your devoted fans yet? Champions, Champ Gang, Screeny Boppers. Personally, I'm partial to Screen Queen, but will defer to your much better judgments. What should the name for our listeners be? First, I love Screeny Boppers. It just sounds kind of cool. I don't know if it fits.
I love it. I love Screeny Boppers.
But just hearing it, it's just fun to say. So Screeny Boppers is definitely on the table. Screen Queens, I do like that. But
Screen Peens. You know, like so it's Screen Queens, Screen Peens.
I like it. Hey.
Insert
face. Yeah, it sounds like I'm about to like watch like look at a top 10 list that I really wasn't ready for. Like Screen Beans, like oh, all right.
I know Screen Beans, like that's the man, man. I use that one. That's hilarious.
So, no, but I like Screen Queens, but I also think, you know, there should be one all-encompassing name. And what that name should be, well, I have no idea. If you guys have any ideas, send it to us, but we will figure that out. Because there has to be a name. There has to be a name for, like, you know, the people, the nation that is rising behind us.
The nation,
as we talk about pop culture things.
A lot of people. A lot of people from Ohio, for sure. They need a name. There's a whole
community. Yeah, shout out our Ohio listeners. Please reach out to us. We have so many questions.
So many questions. We might just do a whole episode about the state.
Yeah, but also, hey, if you're shy, don't get scared. All we know is that people are listening to Ohio. We don't know anything else, so don't be like, oh, they know it's me. Like, we don't know. That's we want to know. Please, please help us.
There's questions.
What's going on, and how did you hear about us? And like, do you guys have a group? Is it like a podcast group? Like, how? Why? What the hell is going on in Ohio?
Church? Is this a church that just found us? And
oh man, like our pictures are out there. And they were laughing.
Are you guys also fans of Screeny Boppers?
Like, let us know.
Let us know.
And because if I feel like right now someone's laughing and they're like, haha, "You don't know anything about us, but we know everything about you." And then like our pictures are there with candles lit and shit like that, and it's kind of scary.
Ooh. That's a scary church. That's a A24 film or something.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, let's hop into our quick hits here. I would say another kind of slow news week for sure, but one of the coolest things going on, quickies, California is going to start allowing indoor concerts on April 15th. So not really movie related, but holy shit, I have too much money, and I don't know why where I've got all this money from, and I'm ready to spend it on concerts because we got I just can't. I just can't wait. Live music is probably, I mean, one of our favorite things for sure. That's something that me and the Madman can always agree on. Like, we need live music in our lives. I can't wait for this to start happening.
I'm so excited. I'm jonesing for a show. I need to go to a show.
Yep.
I need to spend a lot of money on a very cheap beer and expensive Ubers, and I don't care how socially distanced I'm going to be. I just want to be there. I just want to witness it. I just want to watch it. I want to go to a show. I want to go to the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, I think one of the advantages for you is that you're a big fan of a lot of indie bands, and so you get, and when you live in LA and you're kind of right there in the middle of LA, you have those $10, $15 shows constantly. Like, they're never ending.
Shout out Echoplex.
Yeah, what's the show we went to where I was like low key rude when I got drunk and started yelling in the middle of it that you took me to? What show was that?
I forgot the name of that artist.
There was like one song. It's one of those artists where if you go on their Spotify, they have one song that has like 30 million listens, and the second song has like 2,000. And that's just like one song just hit, it was on something, it worked out, and then the rest of them didn't really blow up.
Let me just go on Instagram.
Yeah, look it
real
up
quick. Yeah, because I remember that too. Because I was like, you were like, I'm fucking all right. Let me. I'm fucking drunk. I'm gonna go smoke a cigarette. And you laughed. And the people next to me were like, your friend's having fun, huh? I'm like, he's just very passionate. And they're like, no, it's all good. Like, you're chilling. It's like that typical like, no, you're chilling. It's a vibe. Yeah. And I'm like,
yeah.
I was afraid the artist is going to be like, hey, man, can you relax?
I was definitely being trolly, but very rarely am I rude loudly. So for whatever reason, I was rude loud that night. But it wasn't like in your face abrasive rude. It was just kind of super trolly. Like, oh, yeah, that was amazing. And like, I'm screaming and everyone else there is like sitting down having tea. And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? And I was like, this is the best song I've ever heard in my life. And it's a small venue, so everyone could just hear me yelling. And yeah, it was rough. But it was also a weird show because when we were there, like the thing that I was tripping out, because I was like, Mammoth, where did you bring me? Because the songs aren't the kind of songs that you really like move to or dance to. And so everyone was just kind of standing there looking at the stage, kind of maybe a little head movement, but it was very culty. It felt very weird. And the more intoxicated I got, the more out of place I felt. And I just kind of started lashing out at the world around me. Like, why is everyone so quiet and silent and still? And, you know, I don't know. It was.
Yeah, so it was Rogue Wave. It was at the Terragram Ballroom.
There you go.
And they have this really good song called Lake Michigan.
Okay.
And that song comes out in Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Mm.
You know, everything's connected. And, you know, Secret Life of Walter Mitty, one of my favorite movies. I still cannot get that vinyl. It's like $1,000 to get that vinyl. It was only pressed once. But it was my birthday. It was June 17th.
Oh, my gosh. I was like,
Dubs, back me up. And he was like, I'm down. And it was a riot. It's Rogue Wave. Yeah. If you listen to Rogue Wave on Spotify, listen to Lake Michigan. Dubs was listening to that. Just lit. He was like, I'm too amped up for this. I'm ready to start a mosh pit. But yeah. I can't because everyone's worshiping. Like, everyone's holding hands.
And, yeah. So, I mean, we're saying it wasn't, I feel like it's not as bad as I'm making it sound right now. There was definitely no confrontations with anyone or anything like that. But I know me personally, as I reflected the next day, I was like, Jesus, I was annoying that night. So shout out to Madman for bringing me out in public ever again.
Yeah, and apologies to everyone that was at the Grand Ballroom on June 17, 2016, watching Rogue Wave with us.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. And you know what? Lovers and Friends, they had this festival scheduled. Probably the greatest lineup that a festival has ever had. Ever. I mean, especially for someone my age who likes R&B. All right. So, Lovers and Friends Fest. First of all, Usher, Ludacris, Lil Jon, all packages one. So, I don't know what their plan was. I don't know if they were like all going to do one set together. I'm here for it 100%. Yeah. And then TLC, Lauryn Hill. You know, Lauryn Hill is like an R&B staple. If you have an R&B festival, Lauryn Hill is just obligatory. Has to be
Miss
there.
Miss Lauryn Hill.
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
Some respect.
That's a Miss Lauryn Hill to you, sir. And TLC. You know, shout out TLC. So,
shout out TLC.
Some classics right there, right? Already, you're like, oh, sweet, sick show. Yeah, that's not it. They had the new hitters too: Jhené Aiko, Summer Walker, Megan Thee Stallion. Well, you know, Saweetie, she's hot right now. They all got a TikTok song for sure. But then we go down like Nelly. I need Nelly in my life. T-Pain, Ja Rule, Fat Joe. They added a day and put Akon on there. I need to see an Akon concert immediately. If anyone if there's an Akon concert going on, let us know ASAP. We're buying tickets, getting tables, whatever.
Trick Daddy?
It's insane. 112, Mario. Like, you should let me love you. How much would you spend just to hear? You should let me love you. And let me be the one. Like, that's priceless. Yeah. You cannot put a price on that. There's literally no price.
I see Cameron Cat on here too. That's wild.
Baby Bash? Sugar, how you get so fly. So clearly, this is going to be the best day of everyone's life. Got canceled because of COVID. So if they come out with a lineup, anything remotely close to this, I'm spending every dollar I have to get the best viewing experience possible, which means like a VIP table, all that is happening.
Yeah, it's the older you get, the more VIP just seems like the move.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
Let's
just get the VIP.
Less
people.
Yeah.
Better service.
100%.
Well, we're also adults. We can afford it. We got all this money now.
Just any service at all. We got a little bit more
pep in our step than we did in our early 20s. So we could afford it.
Like, festivals are fun, right? But if you're getting general admission tickets, you don't give a shit about your ankles. That's number one. Your ankles are done.
Oh, yeah.
They're done. Yeah. Because if you want to get anywhere remotely good to see or view an artist, you either one have to be willing to piss off everyone around you, which is just brushing, you know, just, oh, excuse me, just going through. Or you have to commit to a spot and just kind of stay there. You're just like, oh, I'm really excited to see the artist three people from now. So I have to stand here for three artists so I can have a good spot for the one I actually care about. And, you know, that's the beauty of the festival.
And also pissing people off during that time. Exchanges are like, oh, are you so excited for this band? You're like, no, actually, I'm not. I'm here because of the, six hours from now, whoever I want to watch is gonna perform. So
Shadow Concert's coming back. It's going to be the greatest thing in the world.
And that Lovers and Friends was too good to be true. That's why the pandemic happened for sure. It was too good to be true.
It just was, they're like, we promised too much. Well, the thing too, when that lineup came out, it was like people were saying it was fake. Like someone, like Lil Kim was like, hey, no one ever contacted me about this. And it was this really weird like air around it.
Really?
And then, And then like 30 minutes later, she was like, never mind, we good. And I was like, what's going on?
I don't think Lil Kim is one to be like, hey, no one ever if my name was accidentally in something like that, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm in there. I am in there. So I'm Lil Kim.
There was another artist too that had a concern, but Snoop Dogg was like part of setting all that up, and he was just like shooting out texts to people like, hey bitch, chill, I'm gonna pay you, relax. And then people were just like, all right, never mind. Snoop said we're good, so we're good. Snoop. Like, crazy.
Uncle Snoop. Yeah, he's just out there handling it.
All right. Well, so concerts are coming back, Madman. Are you going to be the first in line to get a Lil Nas X ticket?
Lil Nas X. I am. It's going to be one of the greatest shows, I'm sure. It's going to be like some Cirque du Soleil or some crazy.
Okay.
I'm excited to see him come down from heaven on a stripper pole. Mm. And just do the splits.
Okay.
I'm trying to see that. Like, it sounds very entertaining.
All right. Okay. So, Madman, big fan. Big fan of the Lil Nas X situation going on right now. So, if you don't know, Lil Nas X has ruined society by twerking on Satan, essentially. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, he released a video called Montero, Call Me By Your Name. There's a lot of biblical kind of imagery in it. You know, he's like in the Garden of Eden at one point, kind of like hooking up with, like, well, I guess himself, actually. And then he's, I don't know, wearing some crazy blue wigs. Kind of looks like a scene from The Hunger Games, but I'm sure it means something else, but that's how I received it. And then at some point he just, you know, hops on a stripper pole, goes all the way down to hell. Satan's down there, you know, where he lives. And Lil Nas X just gives him a lap dance. And that's pop music right now. So, Batman, there's a lot of outrage about this. Are you outraged?
Well, no, because we've seen this before.
Ooh, well, I haven't seen it. I don't know what you're watching.
Well, we haven't. this is
just kidding.
I mean, it was a very interesting video, but I wasn't expecting to see that. Right? Because this is Lil Nas X. I really just know him from Old Town Road.
Yeah,
that's just me. I don't know much of his discography, and so it's. You know, it is a little random for me, right? But I think it plays. I mean, it's a music video. It's
okay.
It's fine.
I mean, I think
you know, it is wild, though. I am saying as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to look at it, right? But like, I saw the video, and I was like, yikes! All right, my guy. Okay,
it's loud. Yeah, it's loud.
And that was pretty much it. I was like, this song is a little catchy. I was like, I don't know. I feel like I've seen worse, but it is what it is, right? And so. The first thing is there's a couple different groups of people, right, that I feel like are reacting certain ways. You know, there's kind of some people got to have a little keep that same energy check. You know, there's been Satan in pop culture for years. So there's a lot of people on Facebook right now who are complaining about this music video and complaining about the destruction of society that fucking will chug a beer and lose their shit when Highway to Hell comes on. So it's like, okay, like, let's make sure.
Drunk drive.
Yeah. Sorry, drunk drive.
Lighting their lighters on fire.
Yeah. So let's just make sure we have consistent outrage, right? Like, it's now, this is a different vessel, obviously. Is it weird to see this man in Calvin Klein underwear giving Satan a lap dance? Yeah, that is more alarming than the song Highway to Hell. I understand that. But people have forgiven so much or people have overlooked so much. It's like, if we're choosing right now to be upset, just keep that same energy. You know, keep that same energy always. Now, here's if you've been consistent, if Highway to Hell comes on and you're like, this is disgusting. Like, the only highway I take is to heaven. And you've been tweeting at Lil Nas X, you're trying to save his soul. Then continue to be outraged. You've earned it. I respect the consistency. Be upset. Save the world. I get you. For the people who pick and choose, it's like, well, you know, just choose not to pick. You know what I mean?
And if people are concerned about, you know, kids consuming this, then just be more involved with your kids and make sure you're watching what they're watching, yeah. Or, you know, being there with them, and don't just give them your phone and they're like, oh, I really like Old Town Road. And then next song is this one. And they're like, whoa, mom, hey, I've got some questions here. Be more involved with that, you know, obviously, for sure. Like, because I could see how someone can, a child can accidentally come to this music video and be like, wow, mom, like, this is actually a really catchy song. And this music video is kind of crazy. Who is this red guy? And why is he dancing on him? And, you know, I get that. I'm not dumb. I get that. I probably could have saw that when I was a kid and kind of thought it was funny or something to my dad about it. My dad's like, oh, wow, this is crazy. Yeah, my son is a Satanist or something. It's like, no, I'm not. It's funny music video or something like that.
Well, yeah, and kids, too. I'll say this. If you're worried about what kids are watching, if those kids have access to the internet, there's worse than this. Yeah, if that's the worst thing that your kid sees on the internet, you're honestly, that's dope, dude. Like, I don't know. They must have any friends. And it's not, the internet's a dark place.
For sure.
And it's easy to find crazy stuff. So if that, this is the worst. But who, this is funny, because we were talking about the fact that Lil Nas X plays almost every character in this, except like Satan. Satan seems to be a different person. And I just love,
it's actually Satan. It's actually.
He like called him up. He's like, hey, Satan. And Satan's like, I'm always down for lap dance. You already know.
Oh, yeah.
But I just love, like, this idea, like, this world where this guy, like, you know, because we were trying to figure out who played Satan, and we couldn't figure it out, and, like, where this guy's just at home. He's like, hey, guys, I finally got an acting role. Like, I got a part somewhere. Like, oh, yeah, like, yeah. Like, what are you going to do? It's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm just, you know, hey, sometimes you got to get your foot in the door. I'm just really grateful to have any opportunity at all right now. You know, I mean, money's been tight in the pandemic. It's been hard to get a job. Like, well, what are you doing? And he's like, you know, it's like, look, I just, like I said, just grateful to have the opportunity.
On my IMDb page is just going to say devil. And it's going to say music video. And that's all you need to know.
It's like, oh, you're playing Satan? That's pretty wild, dude. It's like, well, yeah, I am. it's like, what are you doing? Like ruling over hell? It's like, yes, I am ruling over hell, but just also getting a lap dance by Lil Nas X. Like, it's rough, bro. But hey, whatever.
Yikes! Emoji face.
Yeah, and then he started selling Satan shoes, and there's like a Bible verse on it. I don't know. It's all weird. Look,
politics. Yeah, and he's a troll too. Like, he's a funny guy. He's 21. He's a kid, right? He's also trolling. We're like, oh, I think he was like, oh, we should sell these too. And it's like the Chick-fil-A shoes or something. I'm like, oh, that's funny. Those shoes are also kind of hard though. Like, they'd be kind of tight.
There's like human blood in them. It's like, well, that's cool.
And then there's a lot of metal heads. I'm like, yeah, right on, brother. This is good for our brand.
Well, there's two. I think, like, sometimes people have had those. I'm not a very superstitious person.
I am a little stitious.
Some people have I've seen like wrist tattoos where it's like good and evil, or it'll be like honesty, like lie, like kind of like that yin yang situation. And I've always thought like it's weird to get something negative tattooed on you at all. Like, I feel like that's just kind of a, like, that's like a weird superstitious thing I've just always had. Like, I couldn't imagine getting like the word lie tattooed on me, regardless of the context. It's like, oh, well, we're imperfect. And so we have the truth, we have the lie. And it's, you know, it's both things. Like, I get that, but I just don't want to have the word lie tattooed on me, you know? So in that sense, I'm not going to walk around with Satan shoes, even though I'm not necessarily worried about it. At the same time, like, I'm good, you know, like I'll pass. I'll pass on the Satan shoes.
It's like $1,000
for those. Oh, yeah. So there were 666 pairs. Oh, shit. Now that Lil Nas X has ruined society as we know it.
The woke police is out there.
All right. So next, we got a couple trailers. A little trailer talk here. So first one, the very exciting Suicide Squad trailer has come out. This is a kind of a reboot, kind of a sequel, but it's not a sequel. It's more of a reboot than a sequel. But it's kind of a revamped world that is kind of the same world. Madman, what are your thoughts on the Suicide Squad trailer? I know you're a big fan.
I'm all about it. Everything I'm getting is what I wanted. And it's going to be good. You're rooting for these baddies.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a job. If they object, they could die. Losing some years of their prison sentence. No, but it's good. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope it's going to be like a lot of like mindless fun. And Sylvester Stallone is going to play King Shark. And I think that's hilarious. Do we need it? No.
Yeah.
No. Do I want it? Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
I say we need it. I think we need that. We do. That's definitely the highlight of the trailer for sure.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. He like rips someone in half. That's badass.
Rips someone in half, which is now a meme.
There's definitely, I'm excited for the R rating. It seems like they're having fun with it. The first trailer they released was a Red Band trailer. That's always exciting. So it seems cool. There's this little camaraderie, but there's nothing about this trailer that it's the same way I felt watching the trailers for the first one. I was like, oh, this is super fun. It's a little darker, a little more edgy. This is exciting. Boom, they got stars in there. I mean, Will Smith was in it. And then the movie sucked. So as they introduce all these new characters, and I'm like, well, this is great. Like, this looks cool. It looks fun. But the first one was such a jumbled mess. I'm like, how are they going to make this one not a jumbled mess? And I'm excited to see if they are able to succeed with that, because I'm at the point now where it's like, look, conceptually, like, this Suicide Squad movie looks super cool, but maybe they need to just go, like, origin story route for some of these people and really build up the lore and then get, like, the sick, like, Avengers Suicide Squad movie come out and we'll really dig into that. I don't know.
For something like Suicide Squad, I don't think you really need that many origin stories for those characters. You just want to see them come up and they'll have the little title card on the side. It's like a freaking Pokemon card or like a baseball card, and it tells them exactly like what they did, why they're in jail, whatever's going on. Because there's so many of them. This one has way more than the first one. So some of them are going to die for sure.
We'll see. It just feels like so much to juggle. I don't know. But I mean, if a bunch of them die, that's cool too. Just in the sense that that'll be like entertaining. You never expect the heroes to die, even though they're anti-heroes. So that's always like a fun aspect of it. But I'm excited. I mean, I'm going to watch it. I'm definitely going to watch it. Yeah, definitely get the juices flowing a little bit. I'm excited to see it. If the first one never happened, my thoughts on this trailer would be completely different. And is that fair, considering it was a completely different director? Maybe not. But, you know, that's how I feel. But let's hop here to another trailer. It's kind of a big trailer that came out. Super exciting for Space Jam 2, LeBron James. What are your thoughts on this one? This is what we probably just watched this one 15 minutes before we started recording here.
I am happy to see a trailer. I'm not happy with LeBron's acting. No, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's definitely a kids movie, right? It's going to be targeted for kids.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just because I'm an adult don't mean I don't get to be excited about it. I am a little excited about it.
That's cool. That's great,
So, we'll see.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's a thousand things. Of course, it is a kids movie. So, there's always that part of me where if I'm going to criticize something that's for kids, I just imagine them being like, okay, well, it's not for you, buddy. So, no one gives a shit how you feel. And I'm like, yeah, that's fair. But I do think back to the first one. And of course, I saw the first one when I was a kid. So it's like, of course, you like the kids' movie when you're a kid. There's so much about that first movie that's so great. The first one's so funny. And all that humor, I mean, Bill Murray, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan all hanging out playing golf. And then all the NBA, like Patrick Ewing and Muggsy Bogues and all them, like, dealing with their own situation, losing all their powers and the NBA shutting down. Like, all that stuff is funny. But it's also kind of like adult humor. It's stuff that I feel like we could watch today and still really enjoy those aspects of it. Not just nostalgia, but it's just a funny movie altogether. All the little therapy sessions in that first movie. So this new trailer, now it's also not the whole movie. So there could be way more to this movie than this trailer. I didn't see any of those things that I love about the first Space Jam. Yeah. So obviously I'm still going to watch this movie. Same with Suicide Squad, but I'm hoping that there's some of that little magic in there, like from the first one that I feel like really worked and really made the movie, elevated it above what could have just been a dumb kids movie to something a little bit bigger.
Yeah, no, I that makes more sense. I thought the nostalgia was going to get me a little bit more excited about it, but if anything, I just felt a little bit more like empty about it. Like the nostalgia did not hit. Like, it just did not hit me.
But it seems cool. You know, there's definitely some cool stuff. It seems like they've thrown every single character that Warner Brothers has ever created into it. It's not just the Looney Tunes. It's like literally everyone. Iron Giant's running around to the NBA game. So that's kind of intense.
Kind of like that Ready Player One vibe.
Yeah, where they, for sure.
Just brought everyone out and stuff. And they just made it part of the movie. Yeah, I heard like Mad Max or something like that. He's going to be in it. The Mask or something.
Really?
Yeah, it's like all these characters, that are, I guess, in that company or whatever it is, they're all just going to be in there. And it's weird. Like, the first one didn't have that. You know, like, I don't know if this one really needs it.
No.
Or it's all like a marketing ploy, but I don't know how you felt about the graphics of it. But the first one, you see them as cartoons and then you see them turn into
like the 3D,
3D versions of them, which is like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of looked like a Tron or something. You know, it's just very like Miami Vice colors, fluorescent. I don't know. It looked interesting. I feel bad. I literally almost feel bad not like being super excited about it. Like, someone shared a tweet in one of our group chats with the trailer. The tweet said, "You're lying to yourself if you say this doesn't look awesome." And then, so I almost feel bad. Like, I mean, it should be cool. Like, and I hope people like it. I just, you know, the things that I think are so cool and so funny and that helped the first one stand the test of time, I just don't see evidence of that in the trailer. Does not mean it won't be there, but we'll see. All right. So now we'll hop into our reviews. We got a double feature today of Nobody and Godzilla versus Kong.
Yes.
So we got some stuff going on. These are two movies that came out. I feel like they should have separated these like a couple weeks apart because I feel like they're kind of hitting the same target audience, or there's some overlap for sure. Like there's like a Venn diagram where there's definitely, it's pretty much the same circle in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But we'll start here with Nobody. Yeah, I will say this too, with the title Nobody, I just keep hearing the Keith Sweat song. Like I've just been,
Nobody.
And I've been seeing that over and over since I heard the title. I can't get it out of my head. And it's, shout out to Keith Sweat.
The Akon one?
Nobody wanna see us together.
Hitters. See, it's all just speaking to us in a weird way. Nothing but hitters, man. So the, let's see, synopsis here is a bystander who intervenes to help a woman being harassed by a group of men becomes the target of a vengeful drug lord. I feel like that's not really a good synopsis.
It doesn't do the movie justice.
It's also like, it's not, I feel like that's not even how it went down the movie. I feel like a more truthful synopsis would be like a bystander who went out for the sole purpose to beat the shit out of people, saw an opportunity and took it. Like that's more like what happened.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's not like, I mean, he did protect the woman, which is great. But he also would have done the same thing if she was there or not, it seems like. Either way, Rotten Tomatoes score here, 81% from the critics, 95% from the audience. The director, there's no way I could pronounce his name, but it's the same guy who directed Hardcore Henry. And starring Bob Odenkirk, Christopher Lloyd, and RZA. So, Madman Moon, your thoughts on Nobody here?
Nobody is the movie I needed to see. I love this movie so much. There's a moment where I was like, is this really the movie? And then that bus scene happened and it just wasn't. And even before the bus scene, the little precursor to it, I was like relieved that this guy is a badass.
Yeah.
And the rest of the movie is pretty much like John Wick for the average man.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It was also a lot of like mindless fun. I feel like I didn't really have to think about it much. Storyline, right? Plot, kind of basic. Russian villain. So, you know, there's always a Russian villain. And I was a big fan of the introduction of this Russian villain. Like the way he just comes on screen. Like it was so dope. And it was a lot of fun. I didn't know that Bob Odenkirk was going to like go that into like training for this movie. I think he spent like 2 years training for this film.
Jeez.
And he's a funny guy. He's like an improv funny comedian guy. He's also in The Office. He comes out for an episode and he's like a fake Michael Scott when Pam tries to get a job. So he's a funny guy and seems like he really got into this role. Did most of his stunts, which I think added to a lot of the genuine feel to the movie. A few surprises I didn't know I was even gonna see or even know I needed.
Yeah.
But that vinyl scene, you know, that vinyl scene, it reeled me in. I was like, yes. It brought up my score like 5% because of that vinyl scene.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about things you didn't know you needed, I put the starring Bob Odenkirk, Christopher Lloyd, and RZA. They definitely don't even have the most screen time, but those are just the three I cared about the most. Because by the end, it's like, yes. It's definitely, you said, like, it's John Wick. You know, it's John Wick. So you know what you're getting. I kind of feel with both of these movies that we're reviewing today, there's not much to say. It's 1,000 times better than the fucking movies that Liam Neeson keeps putting out. That's because they fall into that same kind of category of like this guy who's, you know, trying to do what's right or, you know, the little vengeance or whatever. It kind of, you know, the same people are going to be interested in these movies. Skip the Liam Neeson one every time and just watch this because all these PG-13 Liam Neeson movies are hurting America. But that's a different conversation. This movie was a lot of fun, though. It's a ton of fun. Christopher Lloyd probably stole the show, if you ask me. I think he was incredible. His scenes were so much fun. Like, kind of those, like, in the theater cheer kind of moments. Super cool. Something I'm kind of blown away with, and this is a theme that will go through both reviews here. I'm surprised that the audience score is a 95. I like the movie, but I'm surprised the audience score is a 95. Are you surprised it's so high, or does that make sense to you?
I am surprised because it is kind of a basic movie. Like, you already know what the movie is.
Yeah.
What's so it's outstanding about it?
I don't know. It was kind of cool, but it's not like
95. No, but it's also cool. Like, all right, do you think this is better than John Wick?
Oh, no.
Okay, great. Like, that's what it is. So,
yeah.
If it's a kind of a watered down version of John Wick, why is it rated so high? I will say that Bob Odenkirk, he is charismatic. Like, he is a charismatic guy. Every scene, he kind of steals it because he doesn't need to do much.
Yeah.
I feel like he always does this, like, kind of like a smirk or like a kind of like under the breath, you know, type thing. And so he's good. Like, he's someone that you root for, like, always, like, I think every role that he does, because he's so charismatic. He's, you know, he's a funny, genuine guy, and he doesn't need to do much to be just charismatic. He's a charismatic dude. Like, a lot like Paul Rudd. I feel like Paul Rudd's very, like, charismatic. Like, he doesn't need to do much.
Yeah.
I feel like you see him, you're like, ah, yeah, I feel good. You're like, this is a good guy.
I like it.
Yeah. So, I think it's too high. I don't know if they're giving him, like, so much credit that it just affected the whole overall score, but it's not a master. It's not like a 90 some is high.
It's super high.
Maybe because my 90 somethings are, like, in my mind, high scores, but I think it might be a little bit too high.
No, and the audience score for John Wick is an 81. So
that makes no sense.
Well, this is, I have a theory. So this is my theory. Okay. My theory is that people are just tired of thinking about shit. They're just tired. Like, it's
because it came, like, after.
Yeah, pandemic, you know, protests, movements. There's just a lot going on. Half of my Instagram feed is, like, people teaching me something. Half of it is just, like, people taking shots and then, like, animals. And the other half is, like, people, like, trying to teach me to be a better person. So, it's just people, I think, are just, like, over everything. They're like, I don't want to learn anymore. I don't want to think about anything. The world is shit. Everything's falling apart. This sucks. Oh, and then this movie, nobody comes out. It's like, oh, well, what happens in this movie? This guy, just kind of a normal, everyday guy. He actually is a trained, agent, and he just beats the shit out of a bunch of people. And they're like, oh, you know what? Let's do it. Yeah, sign me up for that. And then they see it, and they're like, I didn't have to think at all. And he beat the shit out of everyone. I got exactly what I wanted. This movie is a masterpiece. So I think it's just a product of the time. If this movie comes out 3 years ago, you know, like, even maybe, like, after, like, John Wick 2, this movie's not doing anywhere nearly as well as it is now. I at least, like, for the reception of it, I don't think anywhere near.
That makes sense. What also makes sense, too, is I think John Wick 2 was a better movie than John Wick. And I think the score will probably reflect that way. So it is interesting. I do think that maybe the time it came out, it just, yeah, people just want to turn off their brains and just watch some guys
perfect
out of some Russian gangsters.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And Christopher Lloyd, my guy, was,
whew.
I didn't know I needed him.
Yeah.
Needed him. So good.
Yeah.
Well, one of the funniest scenes in the movie. But.
Yeah. And the climax of the movie hit. It's a hit for sure. Great climax. Absolutely. Cool. Everyone's getting killed. Cool kills. Definitely like a fun, just exciting, you know, RZA, all of it. It's super fun.
Yeah.
So how do you want to rate this one?
With this one, we could do, so there is that cat bracelet that he was looking for.
Yeah, that's the catalyst. That's the other thing I love about this movie is that, like, well, John Wick, like, what started everything? They killed his dog. Yeah. It's like, what about this one? It's like, oh, well, someone stole his daughter's cat bracelet. And that was like the catalyst.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny.
So, and the plot twist, it was just under the couch. Spoilers.
He was like, and he laughs about it too. He was like, sneaky devil.
He's like, so all that was for nothing? Great.
People are dead. He's like,
yeah.
Under the couch the whole time.
What a goof. I'm down for cat bracelets. I'll go ahead. I'll throw my score out there first. I feel like normally you're hitting it first. So My score here for
do that too, because I feel like I have been scoring it first, and it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. So my score for this one, this is totally. I feel like surrounding it, the scores it has, it might seem a little low. I think it's a totally good score. Definitely recommend going to watch this movie. It's a ton of fun. I'm giving this one a 77. 77 cap raises out of 100. I think it's great. It's not exceptional. It's not better than it. It's just, it's a fun movie. You don't have to think about it. But it's cool enough that it, because there's a lot of action movies that aren't great. This one's cool. This one's definitely cool. 77 out of 100. And the three word review here is just going to be guy kills everyone.
That's the movie.
I did it.
That's a good one. Damn. Your 77 was very close to mine. Ooh. Mine's, I'm going to give it an 80. 80
fair.
Cat bracelets. I'm going to give it 80. I think it's a good, you know, it's a good action film. Is it the best? No, but it's good. It's great. It's great. It is a lot of fun. Through word review, I'm going to just say old man badass.
Okay. All right.
Is that good? Is badass one word?
Sure. I like that.
Old man hurts.
Others hurts. And then just like with hurts. A longing look. Dot, like hurts. Dot, dot. Yeah. Yeah. The three-ish word review. He's
also in
pain
as well. He's also in pain with himself. He's in pain with who he is, who he was, and what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's not a happy vibe.
Old man hurts, man. That's deep, brother.
Old man hurts. It's deep.
All right. And let's jump in now to Godzilla versus Kong here. I'm not going to look up the synopsis because the synopsis is Godzilla versus Kong. The Rotten Tomatoes is a 76% critics and another very high 94% audience. Directed by Adam Wingard, who's directed a bunch of like smaller horror films, and now this, starring Alexander Skarsgård, Millie Bobby Brown, Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, but most importantly, Godzilla versus Kong. So this movie, I feel like it kind of falls in that same thing where when I see this 94%, I'm like, wow, that's pretty high. But I think people are just excited that there's just something crazy going on. It's pure spectacle. This movie is literally, as much as you know what you're getting out of Nobody, like double down on that. You know exactly what you're getting out. Godzilla versus Kong. Man, what did you think about it?
I wanted to say I was impressed because I got what I wanted to get. All I wanted to see was King Kong fight Godzilla. And if it was a whole hour and a half of just them fighting, I would have been all about it.
Yeah.
Multiple rounds. I mean, I'm a big like fan of fights. You know, we used to pick kids on the block just to fight each other because it was so much fun.
That's intense.
That's a joke. Yeah, I'm just but you know, like boxing fights, right? They go like long, like round for round, or like even UFC fights. It's like each round's like it's long. It's not like 30-second rounds. Like, you know, they go on for minutes. Mm-hmm. You could sit down and watch a fight for like half an hour. A boxing fight could go on for, you know, longer. So it's fine. Did I bet on this money? Yeah, I had my money on King Kong for sure.
Oh yeah.
I found out that a silverback gorilla, it could crush your skull if it just punches you. If it punches you, your skull like explodes.
That makes sense.
That's scary, right?
Yeah, someone who's listening to Joe Rogan's podcast, I'm not surprised that monkeys can do anything because that guy is obsessed with monkeys and how capable they are. So you could tell me, you could literally say anything and that a monkey could do. It doesn't matter what it is, if it's true or not, I'd believe it. Anything.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
They are capable. Oh, King Kong's very capable. He is very capable. But yeah, I mean, my brain turned off when I watched the movie. I wanted to see two titans fight, and that's exactly what I got. There's concerns about the human characters being underdeveloped or like not, you don't see much of them. I say good. I don't want to watch a movie where it's a bunch of humans trying to figure stuff. Like, no, I just want to see them fight. And I feel like it had a good mix. The fact that that's a concern, that they're underdeveloped, is like mind boggling. It's like,
yeah,
this year happened. It was annoying. Let me watch freaking two titans just beat the shit out of each other, which they did. And I don't want to spoil anything, but
But they fight. Yeah, you know, it's yeah, spoiler. Yeah, are we doing the no spoiler Godzilla versus Kong review? That's fine, because I feel like I don't even really need to talk about what happens at the end. I will say this. I am gonna throw out a little criticism. Not a criticism, but just a kind of like, you know, just something. Whatever it is. A thought, right? This movie could have been better. And the way it could have been better...
If you say the human characters, I'm gonna be so pissed off.
Is if the human characters... were funny. Like, if they were funny. True. No one in this movie is funny. I mean, so the Brian Tyree Henry and there's, you know, like Millie Bobby Brown, her little friend, like they have some kind of comic relief, but they're not really funny. Like, I wasn't laughing at anything they were doing. And if this movie had that kind of comedy aspect and they leaned into it a little bit more while at the same time having these Alpha Titans, as one person calls them in the movie, which just made me laugh. You can't have all these Alpha Titans. And I was like, Jesus. It would just make the whole experience a little more fun. Because they're trying to make it serious, which is fine. Because it's kind of the tone of the other movies thus far in the series. So you got to be consistent. I get that. But it just doesn't really play. When it's like half like kind of trying to put a story together slash just mindless monster like mayhem, it's like, well, then just go all out with the craziness. So I feel like humor could have elevated it. That being said, that's not like a real like criticism. It's just something I thought about after watching it. And I was like, man, you know, because I think in the first Transformers, like Shia LaBeouf, like it was so fun on top of all of it.
Yeah,
it was missing that kind of humor. But overall, like, again, I just don't know what more I could say about, like, the movie was pretty cool. I think the first time they fought, there wasn't a lot of, like, views from the ground. And I thought that it actually looked kind of weird. Like, midway through the fight, I was like, oh, it looks like they're fighting with, like, miniature buildings. It didn't even look real. Well, it didn't look real. Oh, it's not real, Dubs. Like, yeah, no shit. I get that. But it did take me out of it for a second. And then the last battle, there was plenty of times where it like, showed the ground view of, like, them walking over everyone and people screaming and people clearly getting murdered everywhere.
Yeah.
Which I feel like I didn't need. Again, it's like a weird thought, like criticism, but I definitely like those views from the ground just to kind of add perspective and show that millions and millions of people are clearly losing their lives.
There was this article I read too on Screen Rant. They were talking about like five plot holes in this movie. Mm. And for every one, they had an explanation at the end. They're like, I guess you could see it this way where it's not that big of a deal. I'm like, yep, that's what I did. The freaking Hollow Earth, don't need an explanation for that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
They all go down there, and then they come out of it, not going through the same entrance they went through. They came out of it a different entrance.
Yeah.
It's not explained. It's literally just a freaking hole they made through the Earth, which I think would cause the Earth to explode.
Eh.
But I was like, nope, it makes sense, right? They get out of it. Whatever. Yeah. Gravity doesn't make sense there. Whatever. I don't need to know. All I need to know is King Kong's going to fight Godzilla, and I want to see a winner. And that's all that happened. So there were so many things where I didn't really pay that much attention to because I didn't really care. I just wanted to see things fight each other, which they did. I felt like – because it's so action. It's so action-paced. And Junkie XL, right? Junkie XL. I'm a big fan of Junkie XL. I already talked about him on the pod. He did the whole score to this, and he does a good job with these exciting action scores, you know, scenes and the music. He's really good. Plot twist, I found out that he didn't get contracted to do this. Mm-hmm. He just made music for this movie. Like, he's a big fan of Godzilla, and so he was already just making music, you know,
like, I like that.
For this Godzilla movie. And then so he finessed a way to get a job, and he, you know, he's like,
that's huge.
Yeah, for sure. I'll score it. And it's not like he's just some bum. Like, he's a popular scorer.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, he redid a whole new score for Zack Snyder's Justice League, and he's done so many other movies. Mad Max. Just name dropping here.
Well, you hear Junkie XL and you're like, oh, who's this like up and comer teenager? This guy was born in 1967. Like, he's a legitimate composer. Like, it's not, it's not like some new like TikTok artist.
It was loud. It was loud. And I don't know if you, so I saw this in the movie theater.
Yeah, I did not. Sadly.
Movie theaters are loud. It was loud. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
More than nobody.
Ooh, interesting. Well, then here, let's get. What do you want to score this one by?
We could do like Bleach.
that was a funny scene. That was a good little scene. Yeah, I'm down to do Bleach.
Yeah, and he's a podcaster too. I gotta show some love to my guy. He's a podcaster, devoted, has a regular job just like all of us. Runs into his car, does his podcast.
Yeah, much respect. Man. All right, in honor of Brian Tyree Henry, we're doing Bleach. All right, so my score for this movie. It's kind of it almost you might be able to call it a gimmick score even, but I feel like these movies kind of match up so well in tone and they deliver on what they say and kind of nothing more, nothing less. I'm also going to give this one a 77 Bleaches out of 100.
Nice.
And just kind of same thing. You know, two monsters fight. Could it have been better? Sure. Was it cool? Yep. That's it. And then for the 3-word review, I just got to go 2 Alpha Titans. Because the phrase Alpha Titans is just, I find it hilarious for some reason, and I can't get over how funny I find that word.
There was a world, too, where my score for this one was going to be the same score as Nobody, but then as we were talking about Nobody, I decreased my score.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
With this one, I felt, when I watched it, I felt an 85.
Ooh, okay.
And it is a little higher.
Yeah.
It is a little higher.
Yeah.
But that's what I felt. I just felt this 85. I loved it. I thought it was a good movie.
It's awesome.
Popcorn movie, right? You want to eat your popcorn. Yeah. You want to just watch it. Turn off your brain and just watch it.
Oh, yeah.
3-word review, monkey fight lizard.
Let them know.
That's all it is.
Let them know.
That's all it is.
Yeah. No, I think, sadly, well, due to time, plus, I mean, we're at the end here, but that wraps up our episode. So thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Peace out. Hey, guys, that sounded great. Can we get everyone to reset? All right, take 2.